The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Freddie Flaxman. Everybody, and welcome to episode 301 of the 9 Years podcast. I'm Nick Draper, joined as always by the face of BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Thank you very much for downloading the show this week. Stu and I were just talking prior to pressing the record button. Now, I did remember to press the record button this week. And when I said that we would, of course, be discussing the football, Stu says, yeah, I suppose we could link it in at some point. And that, unfortunately, is the truth of supporting AFC Wimbledon, isn't it? It's like, you know, support a football team and, you know, it's all this other stuff that's always going on, always in the background. The football seems incidental, which is not really particularly healthy, is it, Stu?
No. Wouldn't it be nice just to talk about, not even a win, just talk about a performance in a positive light. But that was difficult for the majority of the game on Saturday.
Yeah, we will start by discussing the defeat to Sutton. We'll touch very quickly on the 3-1 defeat in Europe the previous Saturday, as we missed a week last week as well, before we get on to all the other business around the club, including Don's Trust resignations, Don's Trust SGMs, and whatever else is going on at the club at the minute. It's just fucking hard work, to be honest with you. You know, Stu, we do need something. I've said this before. We need some sort of unifying message that we can all get behind, or we can all go yes, and we can all unite behind one thing. And we're not going to go into great depth right now, but I would just like to say fuck Milton Keynes. Can we all at least get behind that one as a group of fans? That's a united, unifying message. If we stuck that on the scoreboard, do you know what, FA, EFL, fine us, do whatever you need to do with us, dock us points, I don't care, put fuck Milton Keynes on our scoreboard and we'll all be happy. Every single one of us in that stadium. The kids will learn what that word means soon enough. All right, everyone. Okay. So and by that I mean the word starting M and K, not the F word. They're fine with that one. It's more offensive seeing their name.
And you just need it to flash like proper light. Right? No one, the FA don't really care about us now. Right? We're not noise anymore. We're just down in the lower parts of League Two. So we could probably do what you want. Do you know what I mean? No, we're not a concern for them now. We're not embarrassing them by starting again and doing well. But we were doing well.
What happened to mediation, by the way? Anyone any ideas? If anyone's got any answers.
You just did it, fuck me on games. That was a mediation.
If only that were true. If only that was the mediation and we could just do that all the time. But yeah, answers on a postcard, please, to 9 Years podcast at, I don't know, where fucking arse end of Surbiton. Right, let's get on then. The Sutton game, Stu, off the back of a disappointing 3-1 defeat at Warsaw the week before, in which we started with six defenders on the pitch and we managed to concede three goals. Very quickly, Stu, that Warsaw defeat was poor, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it feels like it was ages ago. I can't believe it was only, 10 days ago, if not that we played our European tie over in Birmingham. Might as well be European. Do you know what? It's what I've been saying to you before, isn't it? We just can't put not two halves together. We obviously play well for 90 minutes and expect a home team not to have any pressure is unrealistic. But early goal conceded. Again, Joey Jackson talking about the need to not concede early goals. Can't keep coming from behind. And that was the case against Walsall. Got back into the game with a decent goal from a set piece, but second half didn't come out, which unfortunately is a reflection on what happened on Saturday against Sutton United. We just didn't put a performance in that second half and lost it 2-0 and really lost it with a whimper. I suppose if you can look at highlights, was Alex Woodyard was able to get some minutes on the pitch, but not many highlights come out of it.
No, the Sutton game, we should say we're recording this on Tuesday evening. So, yeah, about 10 days after the Walsall game. And then we moved into the Sutton game. The Sutton team, really poor form, lots of injuries. You always think, like I said to you in the past, teams on bad runs always worry me because they can't carry on losing. I just thought, knowing and having been told quite how poor Sutton had been the last few weeks, the players that they were missing and the fact they were having to play lots of players out of position, I just thought, surely we can't mess this up. But we've got our own, the mitigating circumstances for us for the defeat to Sutton, we've got our own injury problems. You've got, as I said, you've got your the three centre halves that started the season are all out on Saturday. Lee Brown's picked up and a bug, he's ill. Alex Pearce and Will Nightingale injured, we think a long term. And then we have other issues. George Marsh is injured, so there's a lack of depth on the bench, even though Paris comes back in. We've got no forwards. Nathan Young-Coombs is injured. So those are our mitigating circumstances. And it left us with, again, a very young team. You look at the back five. You've got Chris Gunter in there. Yeah, but alongside him, Towler, Kahanbai, Curry, Ogundiri, Paris in midfield, Davison and Assau. So young players. So there is a mitigation to start with. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I do. I do think it's fair. But it's how we set up now, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's we're using our academy and stuff like that. So yeah, we did start with. And I think the thing is, it's also different partnerships, isn't it? So, I think the back three, it's Gunners obviously was out for World Cup, or not World Cup, or friendly stuff. Kahanbai has just come back in. Towler probably hasn't played much with Paul Kahanbai. I just feel there's so many different. I know it's a three that we're playing, but it just feels like there's so many different combinations. And I think it's just called. I think it's just the way we play. Like, I did a blog this Sunday about, basics and stuff like that. I think we just overcomplicate things. And when you're playing, I don't believe that we've really got on top of this 3-5-2 and how we want to play. So then when you get injuries and you get players coming in a different personnel, it's probably, for Sutton, it was easier to play in a 4-4-2 basic formation because 4-4-2 is basic. Channel balls, long balls, you don't, you're right when you say that Sutton had their own injuries, but I would challenge that the injuries to us impacted us more because of how we want to play, where Sutton have a very much defined formation, consistent manager. So it's probably not. It didn't surprise me in the end how it turned out.
Basic is the word. Stu, you know that I am a basic bitch. And I like to keep things simple. For me, Sutton on Saturday then were, and we'll come on to back on to us in a second, but Sutton on Saturday were everything that I would want us to be. In terms of they set up 4-4-2. I love 4-4-2. I have no, it just works at this level. It's fine. It's how we got promoted under Neil Ardley. You say nothing particularly exciting. But they had mobile forward players. They got the ball up to them quickly. They turned us round. They caused us problems. And then out of possession, they didn't take any shit. They were niggly and difficult and awkward and horrible to play against. Nothing spectacular. Basics, as you say, bit of mouse. And they get the win. And let's be fair, if it wasn't for Nick Zanev, although there was one save which Nick made in the second half where I saw lots of people on social media going, "Oh, how did he save that one? What an incredible save!" It was an awful miss. The player kicks it straight at him. The player should score in that position. But anyway, he made other excellent saves. We could have lost more heavily. Yeah, I think we. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to say this. We need to take some lessons from Sutton United.
Not just Sutton United, though, Nick. If you look at teams like Northampton and Barrow that come down to our place, they're not too dissimilar. It's, I think we've overcomplicated it. We've got relegated from League One, where I think, I don't 3-5-2 to me at the moment is just doing my boxing because it feels to me that it feels you have like not like buzzwords, but you have buzz formations. 3-4-2 now, high press. It feels like it comes down from the top and everyone else follows it, and it's like, well, you can be different. We don't all have to play the same way. And it just feels like we've got relegated and we felt that we can still, Johnny Jackson, a product of Charlton, the products of Proddy Charm playing 3-5-2. I think I watched them last night. Yeah, last night, and yes, they do. So a product of that formation. But actually, I don't know if it works in League Two. You know, Johnny Jackson hasn't managed in League Two. We haven't been in League Two for God knows how long. I think we're learning just as much as Johnny is. And what I'm learning is the teams that win consistently don't overcomplicate it.
Mm.
Just don't overcomplicate it. You know, if you look at, like, you know, on the 9 years TV, we highlighted the lad from Luton, didn't we, Nerville? Great position for him, playing out wide, getting the ball, causing havoc. Out wide player, Aversal, can't get the ball. Just can't get, you know, it was just, I felt they had very good players. You're right, they were mobile. They knocked the ball into the channel. If they didn't win the header, they won the seconds. Mm-hmm. If they didn't win the seconds, they made sure they didn't get broken on and got free, you know, and then get free kicks. And I think what we've all missed, you know, I think we were too head up on the referee made an error. In my opinion, he didn't. I think it's a great ball from their player. I think it's an absolute great ball. If we'd put that ball in, we would have been absolutely, you know, lauding it. It was just a such a great ball. Tans is going to get clattered. Nothing he can do. He's going to get clattered. It's a horrible ball.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I don't see anything wrong with it. I really don't. But I think, like anything, you know, when your luck's against you, you sort of feel you don't get those decisions, you know. But only I thought Sutton. Yeah, you're right. I can't disagree with what you said there. You know, look at Rotherham. I'm not comparing Rotherham to Sutton. Rotherham last year done the most. They were just horrible to watch, but very effective.
Yeah.
You know, I want effective football. We need to win games. And I don't really, in the moment, is it performance or result? And I think we probably know what the answer to that is.
Yeah, 100% is result. There's so many things to talk about at the moment. I'm not sure where to go next. Let's just quickly touch on the goal. Because a few people said, like you did, Stu, didn't see anything wrong with it. Seems to be that Nick dropped it, collided with Jack Curry, who stayed down. I think, watching at the time, I thought, how is that not a foul? He's been taken out. Goalkeepers do get too much protection, 100%. But saying that, because they are given so much protection, when something like a goal like that happens on Saturday, you're stunned that no free kick has been awarded. And I still think if that goal's not given, if it was disallowed, nobody's talking about it after the game. Nobody's going, what a horrendous decision that goal was disallowed. That changed the course of the game. How's the referee got that one wrong? I think it would just been kind of like, oh yeah, foul on the keeper. That's it, get on with it. Do you know what I mean? So I still think, hey, look, it doesn't matter because, all right, maybe you could argue that if the goal was disallowed, we wouldn't have lost that game. But we did nowhere near enough to win that game. And realistically, we didn't do enough to get a point. So I can't think the overall result at the end of it, I don't think anyone can think was anything other than fair.
I agree. And just to finish off a bit on about the goal is, like, you know, in terms of, I've seen things where you can blatantly see forwards pushing a defender into a goalkeeper. We've seen that many times, both hands out. And that's why I never, you know, I'm biased, but I tend to, you know, I didn't get off my seat and go, that's a foul. I was just like, yeah, that ball was just literally, I just think it's such a great ball from free kicks that we don't do, do you know what I mean? But again, you know, set plays and that is very important, especially for a team like Sutton. I saw a couple of mates and I stayed behind a goal for the whole second half, which I haven't done for ages. And I was so enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fact that I was amongst, there was an energy there. But you know what? There was an energy of, like, we want to get behind team. It was like they wanted something to, you know, like you get a corner and you get a bit of momentum. There was something there that the fans wanted to get behind that team. But anytime we got a bit of momentum, we didn't capitalise on it. It just felt like we still wanted to play the same pretty football when actually we just wanted to get balls in a box and make them defend, and we didn't do that enough.
We didn't do anything second half, to be honest with you. And the thing about the goal was, as you said, you went off your seat expecting a foul or anything like that, but our whole bench was, and they were charging down the touchline. Johnny Jackson ends up getting booked for complaining too vociferously. But this is what really frustrated me, and this is why when we talked earlier about young team and mitigating factors about where we were at and things like that, the bottom line is that second half was unacceptable. And that animation I saw from the management team and the subs and everything like that when the goal went in, I didn't see that again for the rest of the game. And in fact, with about I made it as far as the 75th minute before I'd gone, do you know what? This is just end the game now. There's nothing else is going to happen. Just end it now. I'm sure there are lots of people that had tapped out a lot earlier than I had, but it's just unacceptable. And yes, young players, it doesn't stop you from exactly as you say there, Stu. Just start making life difficult for the opposition. It's like we all collectively just gave up and just accepted it. And there was no fight, no energy. We can talk about substitutions as well, but again, there's mitigating factors there. It was just unacceptable for me. And hey, look, there are far worse things, as I've said to you, Stu. There are far more important things in life right now than football. But I walked away and I was fuming with that performance. Because do you know what? For all this, for everything we've done and the fact we've got back to Plough Lane, and this is all about Wimbledon and what Wimbledon represents and what Wimbledon is, none of that was on show in that second half on Saturday. Not any of it. And a lot of people came away saying they feel so disjointed and disparate from this club at the moment, because it doesn't feel like Wimbledon. And Wimbledon, I'm sorry, every club, every fan of every club thinks their club is special and unique. We are actually special and unique. We are. We have a special place in football history, in football folklore. We have
special fans.
We have some very special fans. But that performance was the antithesis of, well, the preferred definition of the word special. And yeah, it was awful. If I could also say one word of advice to Johnny Jackson, stop saying after games that you're disappointed. I didn't want to hear post-match interview on YouTube when he goes on ITV football show on the evening when they ask him about it. He says, yeah, I was disappointed. I don't want to hear disappointed. I want to hear I was furious. I was angry. I was mortified. This is unacceptable. I do not expect that level from any team that I put out on the pitch. Disappointed, just so meek and like, oh, well, yeah, bit of a bad day.
Yeah, I get it. You know, it's weird. It was, you know, just going back to a goal, but not to discuss the goal. But one thing I did notice when I was watching the highlights of it is nobody went to Jack Curry. They went to the referee. Jack Curry's laid out on the floor. No one did. Zanim's looking at him, and they've all gone to the referee. And it makes me wonder sometimes, right? I saw this quite a bit on Saturday, and I've seen it creep in a few other games. And this is me going to be a little bit hypocritical, because I've moaned about players not going around the referee and not getting in their face. But you know what? That influence side of it. But if it was in a way, to me, it felt like it was a bit of an excuse to just try and look, just get a goal cancelled. Do you know what I mean? The energy they put into that, Harry Powell thought was going to get a second booking because of the, I think he got it. But no one went and pick up Jack Curry, who's laid out on the floor. And right, for the goal they did, they all got up. But I felt for the rest of the game, there was no drive. So what I mean by that, right, and I've been slaughtered for this, but I sort of said I'll take Steve Evans. If we hadn't got Johnny Jackson, I'd have taken Steve Evans. Because actually, do you know what? He shouts and he screams and stuff, but he gives a shit, right? What we're not seeing at the moment is we sort of in a way, if I was on the pitch and I was in centre midfield and I looked to my bench for some support stuff, I'm not seeing it. It feels like we're frightened. You know, look, screaming and shouting is sometimes just for effect. But that effect is what the fans need. Because our fans need is like every team that's come to our place and seen out, or you know, if we're in the lead, I know it's not been too many times, but the other team, look at Colchester. Every sub they bought on was taller than the last one that come off.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is they literally put balls into a box and they made us work. You know, none of us were comfortable. Sutton didn't even time waste. They didn't even time waste, which shows you how comfortable they were. And that's what. And I think this formation and this style of play, the problem you've got is it's trying to work angles, overloads. But when you're not confident, it's easier to play. So what I mean, at Sutton, it's easier to play in a 4-4-2 structured because the responsibility really isn't that much. But when you're playing passing football and you're trying to create angles and overloads, you need to be confident on the ball. And if you're not confident, you play at a slower tempo. And I just feel we're caught in this 3-5-2. And Sutton will. You know, you're right. We should learn some lessons from Sutton. But do you know what? With Johnny Jackson, I don't know what he's supposed to say, if I'm being honest with you. I know what you're saying. You know, he's disappointed and that's that sort of word. And yeah, he could go into one. I don't know. I just, there's something. there's something about this team that I just, maybe it is the, Magoma losing his rag after the whistle. I want him to lose his rag during the game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many bookings we've got. I'm probably going to ask them my own question in a minute, but we, I don't know. I just, yeah, you're right. We take lessons from Sutton, and that's not being disrespectful, but this team have adapted to League Two better than we are.
There was one thing I will say about Paris, which is he got a little bit of stick for his performance on Saturday, but I think actually in the second half, if there was somebody that like you say there, Stuart, taking responsibility for trying to pass and create angles and things like that, Paris was at least positive in trying to do that on a couple of occasions. He'd try and drive through the midfield, play a pass, look for the 1-2, try and make an angle. He was the only one though, to be honest with you. Man of the match. I don't see how anyone else other than, well, you can argue about the goal, I suppose, but I mean, if it's not for Zanev, we lose that much more heavily. And I just thought it seemed the obvious choice for me. But
hey. Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, Paris Mahomer is a technically very gifted player. But ultimately, if he's the only person trying to create angles and give passes in, it's pointless because it's just going to go backwards or go out. That's the problem. You know, the formation is so, the way we play is so built on relationships and players knowing what people are going to do and stuff like that. I just don't. There was a ball in the second half, and I think Harry Pell had it on the edge of the box. Ogundiri was going in behind the fullback, and the pass is just pants. It's just nothing on it. It's under hit. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, back in the Arsenal days when Arsenal wanted to score the perfect goal, we're sort of in a way, we just don't shoot. Like, I'd rather Harry Pell had a cross shot, a parry, or, you know, I just think we're trying to score this perfect goal in a perfect formation. And we need to realise we're in League Two. And if we're not learning, you know, we always have after 10 games, you look and see, if we are not learning that 3-5-2 is very rarely played by a lot of teams in this division, and a 4-4-2 is actually becoming a lot more common, because actually, do you know what, the players are limited, they're in League Two, that's the reason we need to accept. I think we just need to get a bit of a reality check, and that's probably fans as well. We just lost to Sutton United, and people are going, we can't lose to Sutton United, we're in the same league as us now. This guy, you know, let's start waking up and smelling the coffee.
Just a final word on substitutions and Carl Hudlin not in favour. What are we reading into that? Because, again, with all due respect, Quain Bartley has got the nod ahead of Carl Hudlin on Saturday. And Quain needs to be out on loan more than I'd say Cosgrave and Zach Robinson need to be.
Yeah, and this is the thing. It's no disrespect to Bartley, you know, but Bartley was at Cottesworth United last year.
Yeah.
You know, he was on loan at that. He's still fine. I think he's going to be an excellent player, I really do, but he's learning his trade. And you know what? If I was Carl Hudlin and I'm seeing Bartley come on ahead of me, what is his message did it send out to him? And equally, what message did it send out to the fans? Like, to be fair, when those subs were made, the groan where I was immense. It was like, because you're sitting there going, well, do you know what, chuck Hudlin on. I don't mind him chuck Bartley on and Hudlin on.
Yeah.
And even go chuck four up front just to go, Joel, we're going to have a go. We're going to chuck balls in the box. But we're going to make their keeper work. We're going to make their centre arse work. But we didn't. And that's, to me, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. You know, no team should leave Plough Lane with 3 points without going in the dressing room and going, you know, a sigh of relief. Because when we win games, we do that because we can't win any games easy. But we allow teams to come to our place. You know, no wonder fans love coming to Plough Lane.
I do love Plough Lane, but I am absolutely sick, as you say there, Stu, of the sight of away fans having absolute fantastic day out, buzzing in the away end. I wish the same could be said for the home end. It was completely the opposite. Roles reversed completely after the game on Saturday. The team booed off. Some fans saying, you know, I was booing the referee. Yeah, I'm sure some of you were, but as soon as that whistle goes, the immediate reaction of boos is because of the performance. And I mean, as I said before, I'm not one to boo, but I have absolutely no issue with anyone else exercising their freedom of speech to boo and let their feelings be known. Away from the pitch, a few people had some unfortunate incidents, some unfortunate encounters. We know that Niall Cooper of the Don's Trust board stepped down from his role in a statement released on Sunday following some abuse and grief he got after the final whistle. We also know that former Don's Trust board member Jane Lonsdale also somehow managed to get a load of grief following the game. Somebody that mistakenly believed that she was still on the board somehow. But anyway, it led to another club statement. I think that was on Monday. I think my timelines all get messed up a little bit. Monday from the club that said this was, you know, unacceptable behaviour and such people will be dealt with. Of course, physical and verbal intimidation, especially against people, well, especially against your own fans, but let alone people that put in their time and effort to such a large degree voluntarily, is not a great look. And investigations have been carried out into those perpetrators, alleged perpetrators as well, I suppose, in the interest of fairness, we have to say, because, hey, look, Stuart, as far as I know, you weren't there. I wasn't there. We don't know really what went on, so we're not going to comment really too much about that. As always, though, Stu, I do have my little, my woolly liberal left head on in the instances of these. My my teaching head comes on, and as a teacher, Stu, whenever you have a child that is misbehaving or not acting appropriately, what do? You look for the reasons behind that.
You send them to, or you send them to watch a Wimbledon game.
Or you, as punishment, you send them to watch a Wimbledon game, or for two tickets for an evening with Liam Trotter at the Bromley Civic Centre.
Have they got a civic centre?
I'm sure they, well, they must do. I don't know.
True. Just give him a head start. Just give him a head start so he gets there on time.
They told him it starts at 5, so he'll get there for 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But no, this is serious. I want to have a quick look at the club statement because, yes, obviously the actions and the abuse and the grief that individuals received on Saturday is not okay. It's not okay. All right. Let's just be very forthright in there, and it shouldn't happen. The statement following it, though, we have to tread very carefully. I mean, it says here in the statement on the official website, Saturday's result was understandably frustrating for everyone, but the game was further marred by several. Now, I've heard of two, which was, as we mentioned there, Niall and Jane. I would like to know if several is exaggeration or hyperbole. You know, you can do that. You can do that sometimes when you want to make a point, you exaggerate, because I don't, have you heard any more?
I heard one more that was in the disabled or the accessible seating area.
Okay.
But again, I don't know if it's linked. And this is the thing, do you know what I mean? I think there's a couple that we think potentially or allegedly are linked. But yeah, that's only one I've heard of.
The other section of this club statement says some found themselves targets of vitriol and hatred as a tiny band of supporters, in inverted commas, inexcusably turn their frustration into anger. I think you're walking on very dangerous ground when you start referring to people as supporters in inverted commas. I get it. I understand what the message is trying to be sent there, that this is not what the behaviour we'd expect of some of our supporters. But nonetheless, I'm going to suggest these aren't ringers. These aren't Oxford fans turning up at Wallingford for an afternoon to kick off. I'm suggesting that these are Wimbledon fans who, for whatever reason, feel like they're not being listened to. And in frustration, that can boil over sometimes. Again, we're going to labour this point because people can miss this. We're not excusing the behaviour. It's unacceptable. And certainly, reports I've heard from Niall and Jane should not be experiencing what they experienced on Saturday. However, as I said, Stu, there's an issue here about why people are getting so frustrated. And I mean, the number one issue is, of course, as we've said for a long time on this podcast, people's main priority for a football club is what happens on a Saturday afternoon with the men's first team. That's just, it's a fact of life. And that's been the case for many years. So when you've gone 46 games, which is a season's worth of league games now with 5 wins, 32 points, people are going to get upset. People are going to get upset when you put in the level of performance we put in on the second half. Okay.
I agree. Do you know what? One thing I found, especially on social media when this has been discussed, is that there's some threads that are being, I think there's 2 points within a thread, and they've been a bit, it's not being very clear. So you've got a thread, obviously, that people are saying this is not acceptable, and it's not acceptable. You know, I know Jane well, and I'm not comfortable or happy at all that she was put in. Because and it doesn't, you know what, volunteers all put levels of, you know, we all, whoever does volunteers, whether they put an hour in or they put 10 hours in a week, they are giving up their time, okay? And I know Jane well enough to know that she'd have been hurt by that. I think she'd been hurt more for the fact that somebody had been calling her out for whatever, do you know what I mean? Mm. I don't know Niall as well, but equally, that's not right. I think what's happened on somebody's thread, they've got a little bit linked in terms of people going, but we know we have problems. And then people are going, but it doesn't condone yet, doesn't excuse. And this is not, it's not trying to link the two. It's going, this is not acceptable. This never happened. I mean, if these people have done that, then they need to face the consequences. However, how has it got to that? Because this is, I think this has been building up. And the issue you have is that some fans want people to blame. And you know that statement you just read out? You know, and that's a sort of statement that I read from a club that isn't fan-owned. It's from an owner saying that these supporters are not supporters of this club.
Mm.
Dangerous ground when you have a fan, when you have a club that are owned by the fans and you need them on side. So you tackled it in an extreme way, but you've got to be careful with your wording. That's where I'm a little bit on that. But there was obviously some frustration around. And I don't know if some fans know where to put that frustration.
Mm.
It shouldn't be on individuals in the Don's Trust board or ex-Don's Trust board, but it shouldn't be that. But where does it go? So that booing was not for the referee. End off. Was not for the referee. It wasn't because it kept going. The referee left the pitch by the time the booing had finished, unless people couldn't see the referee. but there are fans now that are openly saying I want, and maybe it's a follow on from last year where Mark Robinson was given more than enough time to turn things around, and fans have probably thought, well, do you know what, I'm not waiting 27 games now, I'm going to wait sooner. Or is it accumulation of going, do you know what, we're in League Two, suddenly just turn us over in our own backyard, they're our friendly neighbours, and now they're basically pissing in the wind and gone away and taken the 3 points away. There's a lot of anger. It doesn't need to overload onto people. But equally, the club got to start understanding it. Like, if I don't know how we do it, a fans forum. We say as a fans club, we communicate. We know that is not the case. It's a big issue for us.
Yeah, I mean, as I say it's a lot, don't I? There's so many things and I don't want to miss anything. Yeah, it's definitely an accumulation of things. The first thing I say is I do wonder sometimes about the role that that I've played in this and we've played in this as a podcast, too, because you say people are looking for someone to blame.
Yeah.
And if you think, I mean, the Don's Trust board, Jane obviously no longer on the board, but, you know, very visible presence. And this isn't a change of visible presence because of the amount of work she does. And obviously, we have the whatever they call the hut outside outside King's Meadow. What do they call that place? The little stand. What was it called?
The booth. The Don's Trust booth. Called the booth? Kiosk.
Kiosk. Thank you. Dear.
I don't know where I got booth from.
booth works, but kiosk is even better. But yeah, so do you know what I mean? So Jane was always very visible out stuff. She's a very visible person around the club. Niall's very visible as well. Things he does at club and also things he's done with Fair Game Initiative and things like that. But however, I'm thinking when a few years ago on a podcast, we wanted to get more people involved in the democratic process at the club. We saw Don's Trust elections not really attracting much interest or any publicity. It worried us. We started doing interviews with candidates on the podcast, and then this transformed into video interviews, which transformed into live hustings. And that made the Don's Trust and the people on the board very visible as the people on top of the club. And that's probably why when you say people are looking for someone to blame, that visibility is because people see those people. Because they see them, they feel like they're the people to go to. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying that this means that what the abuse that these people received on the weekend was, you know, aimed at the wrong people and they should have been doing exactly that and just to someone else. That's not what I mean. But do you get the point I'm making? It's saying that frustration at who to blame. They don't know where to go and who to aim it at. And a lot of abuse is given at people. I mean, a lot of the abuse I see on social media still goes to Joe Palmer and to blooming Mark Robinson and to Neil Ardley still, which is fucking mental. But anyway, but these people are no longer with us. So where do they turn? This is it. Where do people go?
They want something to blame, don't they? We all do in life. We want something to blame. Do you know what I mean? You blame Leon Trotter. I don't. It's just, I don't know who I blame, to be honest with you. I think I blame myself for going. Like, I keep moaning at myself. And if people see me talking to myself, it's just me talking to myself. But it's a bug. It's a bug. And yeah, look, John, and this is why it's so difficult. You know, and I think we've already said so many times, I forgive for saying this, is not condoning it, because I think it's very important to not go this statement. I think it's very important to not tell it too, but there is obviously someone, you know, there is obviously some unrest. But the Don's Trust, yeah, do you know what? I thought about that with a podcast. I even thought to myself, you know, I did a blog recently with a rant, and I sat back and thought, was, you know, did that, not that I'm influential in any way, but, you know, is it really careful with the language you use? And also careful, you know, especially with the podcast, with our podcast, you know, we have a, you know, I was by the horns after the game, and hey, look, I had people come up to me and go, Stu, what's wrong? I don't know these people. Do you know what I mean? But you know, talk about a visible face. I know I've got a face that you can't remiss. But you're right. And people are going, what are we going to do? Who are we going to sack? And it's just like, that's, they are looking to talk to somebody. But I just don't, you know, so that them booing is what they've done. The frustration is we've just had an SGM and we got probably the same amount of numbers as we always have.
I'd say a few.
Fewer, yeah. And it means, you know, probably needs that discussion. But hey, look, it's a big concern with the Don's Trust board. You know, we've now got another vacancy or slot to fill on the Don's Trust board, which means now we have 2 1-year positions, which are to replace Noel Cooper and Graham Stacey, who resigned midterm. Okay. We're going to, you know, so that's 7 vacancies to fill. We've just had this incident with well, they're former Don's Trust board now, aren't they? Both of them are former Don's Trust boards. So we just had that incident. I spoke to a couple of people I know, and I just said, do you really want to stand? Because this place is toxic at the moment. And it is. You know, if I was standing, I'm not. If I was standing, would I want that? Because I'm not taking my son to a game to have potentially a really horrible atmosphere and all rubbish. But we need a contested election. But you equally have people not standing, and Charlie Talbot was very, very honest and said, you know, if he stands in this with the SGM, he said, if I stand again, I'm probably going to be divorced. I get it, but what, I suppose, Nick, what I'm saying is, at the moment, what is making anybody really strongly want to stand for the Don's Trust board when we see the issues we've had, and now we've got allegedly threats of violence against them at games? Who's going to want to stand for, you know, we are in a really toxic position, and it's a big problem.
Yeah, it's a massive problem. The light at the end of the tunnel is we've appointed, like we said, somebody we've needed for a long time, the managing director, Danny Macklin. He comes in November the 1st, so we've got a few weeks to get through before that point. But I've said this podcast now, that's the person now that comes in, and he's paid the money, so he's the guy that it's going to have to shoulder a lot of this responsibility and sort things out. But we have to just get behind him, and because he's got a massive job. He's got a massive job.
One person can't do it, isn't it?
No, absolutely not. It's true.
Do you know what I mean? This is the problem, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, his background looks great. I understand he was at a game on Saturday, mm-hmm. So he's definitely experiencing and gaining understanding. But he ain't going to fix it on his own. And I worry sometimes, you know, you're right. People that have left the club always seem to... It feels to me, if you're going to blame someone who's left.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, as you say, you blame Leon Trotter. He's got probably the most amount of most number of name checks for ages on this. But someone wants someone to blame. Do you know what I mean? But we need to look at the thing and go, why did they fail? You know, and Danny Macklin needs support. You know, and he's got a lot of stuff to do. Where does he start? Who knows? Do you know what I mean? Who knows where he start? But hey, look, whatever he's getting paid, he's going to earn that money. I know he listens. I know he's been listening to podcasts. He's very active. I think he was listening into the Sunday debate that One Was Had a Dream done, which is great. You know, and if you're listening, Danny, now, great. Can't wait for you to join. But hey, look, get some rest, get some sleep, because you're in for a challenge.
Yeah, this is a really, really challenging time to be at a football club. As you say, Stu, a lot of frustration. As I say, it gets borne out onto people unfairly, but it's and people start getting in. We get back into the old arguments about fan ownership and stuff like that. But at the moment, people, I think what's happening is people are seeing a really poor performance. We've touched on it before, Stu, with a really thin squad because of injuries. That's dictated to by finances, which we know that they're lower or not as high up the budget league as we thought they were going to be after Mick Buckley spoke at the
Yeah,
Don's Trust SGM.
I know. How worrying was that?
Well, yeah. And then, but the thing is, it's like I say, people are seeing the poor performances they're putting, they're making the connections, aren't they, between, budget not as good, squad thin, performances bad, 7 defeats in 10 after a relegation. And they're going, they're making the connection saying this is because of our model and our lack of ready available finance for it. The problem is whether you agree that that is the problem or you disagree with that problem, a lot of the time when people put that argument forward, it gets batted away. So people can say, you know what, we're fan owned. So if you think this, you come along to a meeting, you raise a resolution, whatever it might be, you have your say, you can talk to an elected representative, you get an answer. Unfortunately, when it comes to that particular question, the answer is never really answered. I think I have said this on the podcast before. Your argument in favour of fan ownership has to be stronger than it stops Milton Keynes ever happening ever again. Because people don't think it's ever going to happen again, especially now you've got the stadium. So unless people are going to enter into a proper dialogue about that, and not just when confronted with the argument, shouldn't we not be looking for someone to come and take more ownership for more greater investment than no, a flat no, then it's going to frustrate people. So you're going to have to start actually listening to people's arguments as opposed to just straight batting away. And I'm afraid, I'm sorry, most of the time when people do present the argument about selling and losing fan ownership, my interpretation of what I see is that they are just given a flat no, stop talking.
Yeah, and that's where the toxic thing is, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? If you bring it up, yeah, look, I bit about it and done my blog, and I think thankfully because I know enough people, I've got a bit of respect from that, and people thought, okay, it's come from him, and that's flattering, but I'm not alone in that. It was just that I had enough, and I was going to speak and stuff like that. I get a bit fed up when you discuss it because the moment you say I want to look at outside investment, it's people go, well, what, you want to get in the Premier League and win the Premier League? No, I've not said
No.
that. Not said that. I can see that we're not competitive, and that's a problem. I've been a Wimbledon fan for 30 or 32 years, right? So it's not about winning more, it's not about winning. It's about being competitive. And that's both on and off the pitch. That's the thing. And Niall Cooper did, and one of the things that frustrated me, and this is, Niall Cooper said it on the SGM, was that, we need to stop looking at the past and what's at the future. We need to get involved. We need to get loads of people to come and get involved and do things. We need you to come and do things. That bugs me a little bit because we all do our bit in a, we all do our bit. We're volunteering, paying through the turnstiles, sponsoring, buying. Everyone's doing their bit. But whenever you say to somebody, I want to change it, well, you come and join them. You come and propose something. It's a block, and it's a blockage. It's like a roadblock. It's going, well, do you know what? Because you can't come in and tell me how we're going to do this, you can't talk. And that's used too many times. It has to have a discussion. We went to be fan owned, we went to do a bond. The bond was generated by fans doing it as a collective, but actually then people supported that. Whereas people were going, well, no, if you want it to be sold, you have to come in, you yourself have to come in and do it. That's not how we work in Don's Trust, but we know that. And I think this conversation's got to be had, and you're right, it's got to stop being just said no and people chucking the bad owners, all right. And when you name good owners, they're like, no, but they're not going to get, there's not that many good owners. Well, it's good and bad. I can enable Luton, Plymouth, easily. There's so many teams that we could do, but I think if we don't acknowledge that there is an issue, we might see more situations potentially at home games and it becoming a little bit more toxic, and that concerns me. We've got to start listening. And that's we as the PLC, the Don's Trust Board, got to start listening. We are going to have a board that is going to be 70%, at least 70% new going into the new year. And it takes sometimes people, if one person goes on, it can take sometimes like 3 or 4 months just to settle in. how are we going to do that? You know, we're going to have such an inexperienced board learning the ropes in a time when we probably need stability, and we're far from that.
An inexperienced board with an inexperienced manager with an inexperienced squad. Happy days. Do you want to go on to a lighter note?
Do you know what? I don't apologize. I feel like I've just ranted the whole way through. It's probably gone everywhere, but I just think it just shows we want passion. And actually, none of us know the answer. If we did, it'd have been done.
Yeah, exactly. None of us, yeah. But talking is good. And if you agree or disagree, have any issues with anything we say on the podcast, we always just invite you to tell us. All right? Call us whatever, say whatever, tell us our opinions are nonsense, but have the discussion. Well, probably not far wrong, but have the discussion, and you can comment on our website underneath the link to this podcast on 9wirespodcast.org. Or if you do recognise us, come and speak to us at the stadium. We're always willing to have that conversation, as long as it's an amicable, sensible,
can I just say,
good faith conversation.
Can I just say something, by the way, right? This was the funniest thing of, but as I say, I was in by the horns after the game. Also, you know when you like, do you know when you know you feel old? I know you're feeling very young, right?
28.
Yeah, but that music by the DJ in a fan zone, it was so loud. Like, I could not hear my... All I could hear was boom, 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 boom.
It was the Wenger Boys. Old,
but can I just say, yeah. But yeah, when I went to the toilet, right, there's only two urinals. It's quite massive. All I would say, right, it's very uncomfortable, not uncomfortable, that's the wrong word. It's interesting when you're trying to have a pee and people are asking you what you think should happen on the pitch. Really weird. And if that was any of you, I didn't know you were very friendly. Just a weird thing, like, do you know what I mean? Like talking in the toilets, it's a weird one. Anyway.
Somebody was in the toilet and it made them think of AFC Wimbledon's first team. Anyway. Right,
yeah, I didn't go and have a shit.
Liam Trotter. I'm joking. Jesus, I have to say this every time. Right. Right. We got drawn away to Weymouth in the FA Cup first round. Great FA Cup draw. No trains on that weekend. So yay, road trip down to Weymouth. Can't wait. Looking forward to that one. Bottom of the National League South. Not won a league game this season, but somehow made it into the first round of the FA Cup. So fair play, Weymouth. I'm looking forward to that. Never been there. Anyway, it got to me thinking, Stu, about Jackson 5 this week, our game. And who were the last five clubs that we played in the FA Cup that were non-league teams?
Wow. Okay.
You have six guesses.
Well, one is Eversley.
No.
What?
They're not one of the last. Not one of the last five that we played.
Ah, that's cheating. Guiseley.
Yeah. Guiseley is one.
Curzon Ashton.
No.
Is that not one of the last five?
No.
Oh, you're a joke. Sutton United.
Yep. Two more guesses. You've got two so far.
The other non-league teams. Forest Green.
Not Forest Green.
Who else did we play in on league? I can't think. Woking. I know it's not, but I can't think of anyone else.
Okay. You're going to kick yourself.
I've got guesses.
No, that's out. You're out of guesses. You got two. The ones you missed, you're going to kick yourself with the first one. Boreham Wood.
Well, I forgot about that one anyway, to be honest with you. That's why I don't remember it. That's why I'm not good at these games. I just forget them if we lose.
There we go. Halifax Town.
Yes, of course, that run. Yeah.
And then Haringey Borough. So there you go.
Haringey Borough's got such, obviously the ending, wasn't it, of Neil Ardley? It's a horrible game.
Whoa. It was the end of Neil Ardley's reign as manager of AFC Wimbledon. It wasn't the end of Neil Ardley. Jeez. Blimey.
But once he leaves us, he's ended. Do you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
The FA Cup is a curse, isn't it? Because, like, it's at that point in the season where you don't want a rubbish tie. And I don't know about you, but I looked at all the numbers of the teams that were in the South Shields and stuff like that, and I knew we were going to get an away game. And against a team that's in a, hey, look, we've got a really weird draw because it's a winnable game. But I think it's more of an upset if we win. That sounds horrible. I'll be truthful, because you look at it, you're right, they haven't won in the league, but they got into the FA Cup third round. It's like...
First round.
Third round, sorry. For them, it might feel like a third round because obviously it's getting to the first round proper is really important. But yeah, I just think it's got all the makings of a rubbish game. Journey, no trains. Well, do trains run at any point now? Like, is it more of a case? Is it like us when we win a game? It's more surprised we won a game. Like when a train's running, it's more surprised the train's running. They're never running.
No, they're likely.
I'm running again. I'm like, okay, how many times am I going to run anyway?
Hopefully, never more, because we need to wrap up very quickly. We're looking ahead to Saturday's trip to Rochdale, who are currently 19th in League One. It is a bottom of the table 6-pointer. However, they have won 3 of their last 4, and on Saturday they won at home for the first time this season, beating Barrow 2-1, which is actually a good thing, because had they not won that, guarantee they would have got their first home win of the season against us. Jim Bentley's come in. He came in at the end of August. Seems to have had a positive impact on them. They've won at Colchester, beaten Newport, and then the Barrow win, as I've mentioned. They have got Scott Quigley up front, who scores goals. He's on loan from Stockport, another loan between League Two clubs. I never quite understand why this is happening. But the last time we played against a player on loan from another League Two, he scored. And that was Daniel Johnson for Warsaw. So, yeah, Stu, very quickly, win, lose or draw?
I think if we get a draw, we'd do well. But I think before you get beat, 1-0.
And on that positive note, we shall say thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for listening. It's hard work, isn't it? It is hard, hard work. But the important thing is, everyone, to remember, we all care about this football club. We all want the best for it. And the way to have the best for it is to have good faith, constructive conversations. Do never let it... Once we start delving into abuse and threats, intimidation, all this, it's no good for anyone, all right? And that will serve us worse in the long run. So let's have some proper good faith conversations and see how we can get ourselves out of this mess. I can tell you one thing you wouldn't do to help you at any point along the way, Stu. You would not sign Liam Trotter or Ben Chorley for that matter, actually. That ludicrous. Anyway, enough of that. Enough moaning for 1 week. Stu, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last. 2 + 2 = 4. And we shall speak to you again next week. And I'm not going to stop recording just yet, just to say my internet connection is fucking awful. Absolutely awful. This is going to be hard, hard work.